on this and keep praying, committing it into our memory. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Well, we are continuing to dig into the parables of Jesus. And from the scripture, my most helpful source for this sermon is from my friend Dallas Willard. And this was actually published posthumously by some of his family, friends, disciples of his, a collection of teachings that he did on the parables. And I find very helpful. And of course, I make my sources available to anyone who has questions and anyone who would like to study further on these things. And you just come talk to me and I'll make those available to you. Well, remember last week we talked about what Jesus was trying to accomplish with his teaching. His teaching is designed to help us question our assumptions. And then that teaching either moves us closer toward the kingdom of God, or sometimes it can push us a little bit further away, because it reveals our own heart to us. Sometimes in our own heart, God is not what we want the most. Jesus was okay being misunderstood. He was deliberately provocative at times. And he let his own disciples walk away from him without elaborate efforts to coddle them and chase them down and try to draw them back in. So one question that I constantly ask myself as your preacher is, about my preaching is this: does my preaching have a natural tendency to make you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? When you hear what I say, I don't care how I look or what things, but is the Lord using this in some way to create you a desire for intimacy with Jesus Christ? And the second question I ask myself constantly is, am I sharing a message about Jesus, or am I sharing the message of Jesus with others? Because that can be a very different thing sometimes. The message of Jesus was the immediate availability of God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, the reign of God coming down on earth as it is in heaven, and us learning how to live in that kingdom. How do we step into it? How do we depend on it? What's its values? How do we use the resources of the kingdom in our own lives? A lot of people think that if they just go to church somewhat regularly, if they just believe the right things, then something approximating the beauty of Christ-like character is just going to naturally sprout into their lives. It's just going to happen. And yet our churches and individual lives are full of evidence to the contrary. And what I mean by that is it takes more than just a little extra Jesus sprinkled on top to change your heart. It has to be all in. And we have to approach it that way. See, church attendance and knowing good things about Jesus, knowing that he died for your sins, as good as those things are, they can never take the place of a real relationship with God. A real relationship. And they can't take the place of learning in that real relationship how to spend time with the Lord and how to enter into his kingdom and come in contact with the life of the kingdom. See, if you're just interested in doing your own thing, if you just want to stay put, if you're not really interested in change, if you don't care enough to ask in order to be given, if you don't care enough to seek in order to find, if you don't care enough to knock in order that the door may be opened, that has to do with the issue of your heart and the hardness of your own heart. A soft heart is one that's open to learning, it's open to searching, A soft heart is open to the vulnerability of a real relationship. Do you want to be challenged and changed by Jesus Christ? If you really don't care about being challenged and changed by Jesus, maybe in this moment, I'm doing the best I can, Lord, and I may be not in it as much as I should be. It's still good for you to be here, even if your heart is not fully in it, not fully engaged. Even if you are in a season of hard-heartedness or a season of distraction. There's so many things going on. You've got so many irons in the fire. You know, some of this is just you're going through the motions, and honestly, you don't have more to give than that right now. Now that's the way you feel anyway. It's still good for you to be here because Jesus has something to give to you that over time, and when that time is right, it's going to help you soften your heart. And we all go through cycles of being open and receptive to kind of just being closed and going through emotion. That happens to all of us. But for many of you in this room, you keep coming back here week after week because you hunger and thirst for something. And it's not my preaching, although I appreciate the encouragement that you give me. You don't keep coming here week after week because Mike Duffield teaches such an amazing Sunday school class. And he does. I've heard many of you tell me that. Or you don't keep coming here week after week because people are so welcoming and friendly. It's fun to be here. It's fun to be a part of this fellowship. As great as those things are, what will keep a person coming to church week after week after week? That you really hunger for an encounter with the living Christ. You're hungry for Jesus. You want to know Him. You want to be close to Him. You want to touch Him. You want to learn things from Him. You want to learn how to love Him better. And you want to learn what it's like to be loved by Him. You hunger for that. It gets into our bones. And the person of Jesus, together with what He teaches, it grows in us a desire for that. It grows in us a desire for righteousness, a desire for all the things of God. And we begin to want the kingdom of God because that's where God is. And we want to be together with Him more than we want anything else. That is the invitation that will draw us back week after week, year after year. So we had mentioned this verse last week. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of the heavens has suffered violence, and the violent takes it by force. This isn't talking about violence, like in the sense of the war. The weapons we wage war with are not the weapons of this world. It's not our typical understanding of violence. It's not that you're packed and keyed. You're going to take care of situations if it needs to happen. They're not going to do that to me in mind. It's not talking about that kind of violence. It's talking about a kind of heart that will not be separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. And a kind of heart that will go through whatever you need to go through in order to be together close to Him. So, taking the kingdom by violence, kind of faith that says, I'm not going to take no for an answer. I have to be together with you, Jesus. And then remember that story of that blind beggar, Bartimaeus. He's hushed up by the crowd. Jesus is an important person. He's got better things to be doing than having you beggar mess with Him. They try to shut Him up. He does violence to the people's expectations by crying out even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" That's what it means. That's what the desire is, that the Spirit wakes up in the teachings of Jesus. A heart that is soft, that is yearning and hungry, and it just, you have to be together with. and digested. See, God gives each and every human being the keys to their own heart. And God does not force open the doors of any human heart. While you have life, in this biological and earthly existence that you have, God has set things up where you get to call the shots. And that means you can walk away from Him. You can spit in the face of your Savior all day long. You can just ignore Him and go your own way and do whatever you want. Or that means if you choose Him, that choice really means something. Have you ever noticed that when you're like, for example, have you ever had an argument with someone that you just tell them the way it is? Like you just open up and are honest with them. And instead of softening their heart or they dig in even more. Have you ever noticed when you challenge a hard-hearted person about something? Maybe you're a hard-hearted person. Maybe it's someone you know. We always think it's the other person's hard problem. Even if things get to a point of being ridiculous and their answer it's not even logical anymore, it makes no sense, they will not give you the satisfaction of agreeing with you in any way whatsoever because they dug in. They're not gonna give in. They're not gonna budge. That door is closed. And the parables of Jesus are like hand grenades locked in over the hard walls, hard high walls of your heart. And it just sits there until the time is needed. And those ideas are in our mind. You never know when that grenade is going to go off. The teachings of Jesus work that way in our lives sometimes. Here's the way God works with hard hearts. A father has two sons, and the younger, this is a paraphrase, a Calvin paraphrase, so forgive me. He comes to his dad and says, "Hey, Pops, I'm sick and tired of hanging around here and being told what to do. Give me what's mine. And give me that money right now so I can get out of this place and go live my life." What's the father do? The father gives him all kinds of money. What does the son do when he gets that money? "I'm out of here. I'm going to go live my best life. I'm never coming back to this place again. I hope you..." Whatever. That's the way the Lord is with hard hearts. He'll throw open the gate. You go do your thing. The father gives the son lots of money, and the son immediately abandons his family and hits the road. And the father doesn't try to stop him. God doesn't try to stop him. Parables are a way for God to give us the keys to unlock our own hard heart. A parable is teaching that sticks with you, and like Jesus' story of the prodigal, it helps you come back to your senses and remember. You remember the story of the prodigal? He goes and blows it all with wild living. He's got nothing left. He's feeding pigs. A good Jewish boy feeds pigs now. It says he comes to his senses. The teachings of Jesus, that they get into your heart, maybe from the time you were a young child, maybe they don't mean something to you for a long time. But eventually, you're going to have a time when your hard heart begins to crack. And those teachings get in there. And you remember things like, "Hey, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger." Whenever I'm just like agitated, convinced in my life, when things are falling apart left and right, and nothing to move into the life of the kingdom of God, to be a different kind of person in this world, living in different resources, in different ways, not being thrown off track by whatever circumstance you happen to be in right now. Here's the fun thing. And I know that this isn't true of you. But when I get into this pulpit, sometimes people's minds shut off. And you don't mean for that to happen. But maybe that mind shuts off because there's a part of you that thinks, I already know all this stuff and I've heard all this. Way I feel when I preach my sermon. Not everyone in church, including myself, maybe especially myself, has ears to hear each and every time I show up. But a parable is a ticking time bomb hurled over the walls of the heart that can go off at any moment. And when that heart becomes soft enough, or maybe the circumstances become hard enough, the teachings of Jesus help us become softer. What do you think about this? This is an example of what I'm talking about. What do you think about this? A man with two sons told the older boy, "Son, go out and work in the vineyard today." And the son answered, "No, I won't go." But later he changed his mind and went anyway. And then the father told the other son, "You go." And he said, "Yes, sir, of course I will go." But he didn't go. Which of these two obeyed his father? See, that teaching, as simple as it, it's hard to argue with it. But it invites you to think about, hey, what am I like with God? What am I like with the people around me? Which son am I like? You may be a daughter, but you think, oh, what son am I like? I've heard a bunch of people say things like, I need to set the goal of being a better spiritual leader for my family. I want to be a better spiritual leader for my family. I have witnessed that you've said this with your own ears, some of you men. What have you done? Has anything changed in your habits and what you're spending your time doing? You come to me for encouragement or advice? Or here's what I've been working on to be a spiritual leader in my family? My wife and kids. See, when the teaching of Jesus is tied together with the parables of Jesus, and it comes up to our real lives, it's going to have a different impact if you arrive to that.